Today's reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45, and then Richard and Sheila will bless us with a rendition of the last verses. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God, and you may be seated. I have this Advent devotional called Watch for the Light that a pastor gave to me years ago, and I get it out every year. It is made up of different readings from a wide variety of authors, both ancient and modern, and it has a reading for every day from November 24th through January the 7th. Now, I won't say that I read every single entry, every single day, every single year, but I do read a few here and there, and I always find something new each year. And this year, when I opened it up for the first time, the following, which was in the introduction, written by the editors of the book, this caught my attention. Mother Teresa once noted that the first person to welcome Christ was John the Baptist, who leaped for joy on recognizing him, though both were still within their mother's womb. They go on to say, we, in stark contrast, are so often dulled by superficial distractions that we are incapable of hearing any voice within, let alone listening to it. Consequently, the feeling we know as Christmas cheer lacks any real connection to the vital spirit that radiated from the manger. Man alive, do I bet there are at least a few of us here who can relate to that idea. This most wonderful time of year, one where we talk about things like hope and peace and love and joy while we light candles around the Advent wreath, this most wonderful time of year is actually a time of year that a survey by the American Psychological Association, or APA, said increases the stress level of 38% of people surveyed. That sounds low to me. There is so much about the holidays that will raise the stress level, is there not? An article in U.S. News and World Report that I read this week points out that there are several reasons that this is such a stressful time of year, not the least of which is the simple fact that there is the expectation that this is a happy time of year. High expectations abound of perfect family gatherings, perfect gifts, perfect meals, perfect decorations. And all of this creates a whole lot of pressure for people, given that many find that this season is one that is filled with overlapping and overwhelming demands on their time, worries over money, as well as all of those pressures of family gatherings and gift giving. Sometimes, let's be honest, all of the parties and the gatherings and the preparations of the season can leave us feeling as if Christmas cheer is something other people have and we are just faking. Even for those of us who do find this time of year to be holly and jolly and merry and bright, the Christmas cheer that we might most readily associate with this time of year is quite different from the emotion we find in today's scripture passage about two special, chosen women being together in their time of waiting. Mary and Elizabeth, relatives separated by years of age and miles of territory, brought together by the announcements made by the angel Gabriel. Words of a miraculous child to be born to the aged Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah. Words of a miraculous child to be born to the Virgin Mary, a young girl betrothed but not yet married to the descendant of King David, Joseph. Elizabeth did not know what was going on in Mary's life when she arrived that day. The angel had not shared that piece of information with Zechariah, who, by the way, we can just imagine sitting mutely as these women visit, because he was struck dumb by the angel because he had a little too much doubt for Gabriel's liking. Elizabeth did not know what was going on in Mary's life, but the baby in her womb knew, and the yet unborn messenger John leapt with joy when Mary and the yet unborn Jesus came in that day. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit opened the heart and eyes of Elizabeth to what was going on, and she too was filled with joy and then spoke words of affirmation and blessing to her young cousin. But then Mary, young and willing Mary, sings a song. Richard and Sheila shared with us this morning a musical version of the song she sang, the words of which you can see in your bulletin this morning in those scripture verses. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Mary declares the Lord's greatness and the joy that that fills her with. She recognizes that he has favored and honored her, a simple girl from a tiny little place. She knows that who he has made her, the mother of the Messiah, will make her name known forever. But here is where the song turns from one of joy and personal blessing to one of good news for all people. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever. This is a song of hope and joy. This is a song of good news. Mary's song, you see, encompasses all that is the good news of Jesus Christ for this world. The good news is personal. It is one of individual salvation and blessing, but it is also one of revolution and transformation. The turning upside down of the ways of this world for the ways of the Lord. The Greek word that is translated in our Bibles, good news or gospel, is evangelion. John Howard Yoder writes that we are well served to remember that the root meaning of this word would today be best translated revolution, not good news. He says, evangelion is not just any welcome piece of information. It is news which impinges upon the fate of the community. Good news is the report brought by a runner to a Greek city that a distant battle has been won, preserving their freedom, or that a son has been born to the king, assuring a generation of political stability. Gospel is good news having seriously to do with the people's welfare. Not merely an event that makes some of us happy, but one which shapes our common lives for the better. Gospel is revolution. And that is what Mary sang about that day. And it is what we are still called to sing about today. I titled my sermon today, with the subtitle of a Buffalo Springfield protest song, which is entitled For What It's Worth, from some 51 years ago. Stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look, what's going down? The song said. What was going on that day with Mary and Elizabeth was a revolution. A revolution for two women whose lives would be changed by God's choosing and blessing of them. It was a revolution for their families, but it was also a revolution for their communities and a revolution for the world. What is going on today is equally a revolution for us as individuals, as families, as a community, and as a world. But we must sing our song just as Mary sang hers. We must sing our song of good news. We must make our sounds of revolution that the world might say, stop. Hey, what's that sound? And be transformed by what they hear. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the revolution that you have been all about from the beginning of time, showing us new and different ways to live, so very different from the ways of this world. This Christmas season and beyond, help us to be those who continue to sing your song of revolution, of justice, of mercy, of peace and hope, that this world might hear and believe and be changed. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.